What's up, Fear fans? This was a Daniel Heavy episode. Join us in the live chat. Leave your comments below. Fear the Walking Dead episode 4 starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Damn, Daniel. We totally played that out. But guys, if you just watched this episode, which I'm sure you have, this is a very, very Daniel Heavy episode. Like, I'm really excited to talk about it. Let's get our intros over with. I am your host, Timothy Michael. You can join me on all social media platforms at I am Timothy Mike. And I am joined by my lovely co-host.
Hello, I'm Natalie Dyer. You can find me at Natalie Dyer on all sorts of social medias, the Instagram, the Tumblr, the Twitter,
everything,
all those things.
The life.
The life.
That's where you find
it. I live my life online.
Exactly.
And in TV shows, apparently.
I'm so excited about this episode because there's always this, when you watch a show like Fear the Walking Dead and it's so strongly character heavy, we want to know their backstories. Yes. And we've said this about Kim Dickens' character, Madison. We've said this about Strand's character. They only give us like a little bit of pieces. And I feel like Daniel's backstory was pretty prominent in this episode, which I loved. What was your initial thoughts of this episode?
I'm so glad they didn't make us wait another 2 episodes to find out what was happening, because they did the reveal and then we get to see.
That's true. They do like to do that a lot. But yeah. I feel like they're not doing it this season, which is awesome, because they are pretty much picking up where every episode leaves off. Mm-hmm. And just speaking of that, so Daniel is rescued by this group of people and he's in pretty bad shape.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Burnt leg, dehydrated, burnt everywhere, honestly. They get to this, I guess you can call it I don't want to say a safe haven, but I guess a community, maybe?
Sure.
Town?
I think it's a town.
Yeah.
It's a town.
And I liked what Fear the Walking Dead does, because I was like, how does this town correlate with, you know, where they are now or how he ended up there? And this episode was all about water.
Yes.
And if we talked about, you know, last episode, water is key currency as of now in the apocalypse. Would you say that the water stealing, keeping you in anticipation. Would you say that is fair to say that it would be water, not food?
Well, you need water to make food, so yes.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say it's definitely the currency that you would want to have. In a post-apocalyptic, infected world.
Agreed. And our statement in the beginning, damn Daniel, has a lot to do with this episode. Obviously, two-parter, Daniel
there
being Daniel.
There was a lot of damn Daniel and a lot of damn it Daniel.
Damn it Daniel. And there was a lot of damn in this episode, which I found really shit. Did you get that? Oh, I like that.
I got it. That took me a minute, but I got it.
If all of our fans out there are really smart, they would have got that one.
They are really smart.
They
are
very
smart. Are you accusing them of not being smart?
No, I'm just saying. Okay. And if our amazing engineer, Anthony, can get our live chat up to see if there's anybody in there so we can interact with you guys. So they're in this little community and they get this ominous like water source at 5 p.m. every Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it's once a week at 5 p.m. on the dot, and water flows out of this fountain, and that's how they've been getting the water supply. And without it, they would obviously die. Mm-hmm. What I found interesting was that while they were helping Daniel, and after they got the water, this Fifth Beetle guy, which I thought was an interesting name. Yeah, he's very ominous. Fifth Beetle rescues Daniel. And then they're driving through the town on this bike. And he's got like this boombox thing that's like...
saying, awa,
yeah.
Awa,
did you... Awa. What did you think of that?
I was like, what is this idiot doing? Like, why is he calling all the walkers to him? I mean, infected. We're going with infected.
Infected.
It will just correct myself every time. Yeah. I was going, idiot, idiot, idiot. But then also, like, badass, because he's, like, riding around pushing Daniel in the bat, like, the thing, hitting people over the head with a baseball bat. And
yeah.
I was like, you're kind of amazing.
Right, but he could have avoided that if he wasn't fully advertising where they were.
Right. Well, I mean, I get why he did it now, but... in the moment, I was like, the
fuck? Yeah, I was like, you're trying to, like, avoid the infected, but you're...
calling them to this area.
Exactly. And calling them to you.
And it was a brilliant smoke screen, because there was little literal smoke at some point.
There was.
But it was brilliant. It was, let's call all the infected to this area, and then when those, the guys from the dam come driving through, it's going to be overrun by infected.
Yeah.
So...
which just... so we encounter this group of people after, you know, we are driving through this town on this bike. And when they get there, they're trying to help Daniel and they have to cut off, which I thought was completely intense, this burnt part of his leg before it rotted and it got infected and they would have to probably amputate his leg. But then they said, you know, they have to cover his mouth because in order to, like, not attract the infected to them. But didn't you just do that when you drove the bike all the way to this?
Yeah, but it's like, it's like in Jurassic Park. He walks around with the flare, right? And he's like, follow me, I've got the flare. And then he throws the flare and goes the other option, the yeah. other way, right?
Yes.
So they just turned it off because Walker or infected are not that smart and then bailed through the smoke screen.
Oh,
very smart. And then you have the truck guys who are coming around.
Yes.
So they're making more noise too. Yes.
Quick shout out to Simon Cerna and Untitled Game Show in the chat. Thank you guys for joining us.
Hello.
I do want to talk about this, the truck with the machine gun thing on it really quick, because before they brought Daniel into this, I guess, house, there were these guys on this machine gun truck. It's pretty intimidating. What did you initially think was going on?
I didn't correlate it to the dam at all. I just assumed that, oh, look, once more, we've got some more bad guys that you need to avoid. I honestly thought they were first hiding from the infected.
Okay.
But then when he hurt his leg and they're like, shh, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And then it pans up and it shows the truck. And I was like, oh, well, look, we've just got some more bad guys that we're going to have to deal with at some point.
See, I thought that they were like the drug dealers that were dealing with Nick.
Oh,
in that instance, because I was like, where did they, like, I didn't understand where the whole machine gun, like, obviously at the beginning of the episode, we didn't know how Daniel was going to correlate to getting into, to the dam, yeah. blah, blah, blah. So that's what my initial thought was drug dealers, machine gun.
Fair. I just assumed. I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
We got some more.
I love when, and this just comes back to just the backstory of Daniel. He owned a barbershop. And him and the Fifth Beatle guy, I'm going to call him the Fifth Beatle guy because that's all his, like, that's, hey, I mean.
The Beatles only had four people, I'm pretty sure. Did they have four or five?
I think it was five.
I don't know.
But if anybody in the chat could let us know what the Fifth Beatle guy's name was. We looked it up on IMDb. I try to catch it throughout the episode. Natalie keeps joking that there was a lot of reading in this episode because of the subtitles.
There was a lot of reading in this episode.
But we didn't catch his name, so I'm just going to keep calling him Fifth Beatle. But him and Daniel have this great conversation, and Daniel says to him, I've killed 96 people after he's cut his hair, which I thought was cool because I completely forgot that Daniel was a barber.
Yeah.
Now that he had his own barbershop. This is like season one, like episode one.
It was a throwback. It was a throwback to remind you of, like, yes, we all know him as this dangerous guy. We're so happy that he's back from There Were Five Beatles, by the way.
Yay, thank you.
Whoops. Anyway, yeah, so it was really nice to see him, have a reminder that he was human for a little while, especially with where the episode went.
Yeah.
Because he did pretend, if you want to call it that, or he lived a fairly normal, stable life.
Yeah.
Until this all happened.
And then brought back all of his PTSD stuff.
So it was definitely a needed thing to have.
Yeah, I agree. Another thing that came up in that conversation was that Daniel's killed 96 people. And he asked him that, a specific number. And it just brings me back. And we're not going to do this too much, you guys, because we don't want to compare The Walking Dead with Fear of the Walking Dead. But in The Walking Dead, Rick's group and Rick in general can always tell a good, not a good person, but a worthy person or somebody that they could let into their group if they know the specific number of people that they killed, because it proves that they have a conscience.
Yeah.
It proves that they are not just these ruthless killers who are just killing people just to kill people. And Daniel says 96.
Yeah.
Do we think that the writers did that on purpose in order to kind of show us that Daniel does have a conscience underneath all of this?
Yes, because later in the episode, not to, like, jump to the end, he's asked again, how many people have you killed? And he says, I don't remember.
Yes, but that's only when he's dealing with Dante.
Right, so you're right, because it's he was trying to earn the trust
right
of of the group he was with. And by saying an exact number is a little bit less, like, intimidating than, oh, I've lost count.
Right. And when he's with Mr. Dante...
But he's trying to, like, prove himself with Dante.
Right. He's trying to prove that he can be this ruthless killer.
Right.
Right.
So he has to say,
I just thought that was interesting. Good. If that was the writer's point, I thought that was great.
I also wanted to know if that counts the infected that he's killed, or, like, does he consider the infected humans? And did he start adding that to the list or not?
That's a good idea. That's a good... point. Because I was like, I was actually thinking the same thing, because I was like, I think it's 96 people not being infected.
I think so too.
Because this is before the infected ever broke out.
Right.
So, or, well, when Dante asks him, it's before this infected ever, that's when he was part of the, in El Salvador.
Right.
But when Fifth Beetle asks him, it's
altogether.
I don't know. Let us know what you guys think. Do we think 96 people is people, or like infected people?
I think it's people, but I just wanted to know if he's going to start adding to it.
Yeah.
With the fact that they're infected now. Just a thought.
Speaking of El Salvador, Daniel and his family did escape from El Salvador, and he brings up Ophelia, which I'm really excited about, because we haven't seen Ophelia. We just keep talking about her.
Yep.
And I really, when he was previewed last episode, I really wanted to see what Daniel's reaction was to what happened after the fire. And we get a little taste of that. It wasn't like a flashback, which is what I was hoping for. Were you hoping for a flashback?
On, like, how I got out?
Yeah. Or were you good with just the story?
I mean, I was good with the story. I didn't need to see how it happened.
Okay. I wanted to see, like, the fire and him, like, crawling out. Because, I mean, Ruben Blades, who's the actor for Daniel, he's an amazing actor. I mean, obviously. I want to see him not just tell a story. You know what I mean? I want to see him, like, act this out. Oh, of course. No, there's no doubt about that. I just want to see it. I want to see it. That's all.
Okay. Okay. Fair.
But so, yeah. So Daniel was trapped in the building, obviously, the wine cellar.
Mm-hmm.
And he claws his way out. And now he's looking for Ophelia, because who he thinks is dead.
Yeah.
That didn't even occur to me. I thought that he knew that Ophelia got out. It didn't occur to me that
he might have
burned everybody to death.
Yeah, I didn't think about that either, but the fact that he didn't, like, find her body or her as infected, like, that's why I assumed that he'd either figure she was alive. I don't know, I would assume people are alive until they've proven me dead.
I don't know.
In this world, I would be like, you're alive. Or I'd assume they were all dead until they proved me wrong. It was like one or the other.
It's like one or the other. You could either go with, I hope that they're alive, but they're probably dead, or I'm going to hope that they're dead and then prove me wrong and be
alive.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
Glass half empty, glass half full.
Exactly.
Figure out which one you are.
Right. Okay, one thing that I have to point out in this episode, which I thought was a little overly dramatic, was when Daniel was in this, I guess you can call it a reservoir-ish type of space.
It's a Los Angeles river.
There you go.
Because we don't have real rivers. We have concrete rivers.
We have concrete. And this little tiny slab of, like, this water running through it. Whatever. But when he's like...
A canal. That's sort of maybe it.
Let's go with that. But when Daniel's praying in front of, like, the infected,
mm-hmm.
and then the lightning strikes. Like, mm-hmm. strikes the infected, and then we move on from there. But did you think that was a little dramatic?
Yeah, but also, like, what a cool way to start killing infected.
But he wasn't even dead. Like, the infected wasn't even dead.
Yeah, it did.
No, because it was alive in the pipe.
No, it wasn't. That was Daniel.
No, but they, oh, right, it was. Wait, its eyes were open.
Well, yeah, but it was
dead. But it was dead, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
People don't close their eyes when they die.
I don't know. I was like, it looked alive to me. I don't know, you guys. It's a freaking infected. I don't know if it's alive or dead. It looks dead or it looks alive. I don't know.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I just thought it was a little overdramatic.
Oh, look. Untitled Game Show says, by the way, the person that helped Daniel is named Ephron. Hope that helps.
Ephraim. Thank you, Ephraim. Untitled Game Show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I could stop calling him Fifth Beetle now.
I was going to start calling him Jesus, because he had a lot of Jesus undertones.
He did have, from Walking Dead. The guy from Walking Dead?
No, I mean, like, like Jesus in general.
Oh, well, it's funny, because he reminded me of Jesus from The Walking Dead, too.
Oh, okay.
Like, just, like, savior, like, badass kind of,
sure.
like,
okay.
you know. So, okay, Jesus on two parts.
Yeah.
Let's call him that. So, yeah, I thought that was just a tad bit dramatic. But then I also am wondering what happened to the whole PTSD thing with Daniel, because he said it to Ephraim. Thank you, Untitled Game Show host. Untitled Game Show. That he wasn't all clear with his mind. He was losing his mind. But now he's fine?
I disagree. I think they just didn't have time to touch on it. now, or to see the consequences of it. Or at least I hope so. I hope we still get to deal a little bit with the PTSD, because it doesn't just disappear. It's not a thing that happens. But I do think that he was slipping into his old ways a little bit, in a sense.
How so?
So, like, his survival, and and you know, at some point he kind of takes on the whole, yes, I am the general, or what he was.
Sombra Negra.
Yes.
Sombra Negra.
So I think he was sort of just adding to maybe what he has. Yeah, I don't know.
My theory was that because he was, and he touched up on this, in a house surrounded by death, do we think because he killed so many people when he was part of the Civil War in El Salvador, that he was just, that's what was his trigger? And now that he's out of it, he's okay?
Well, I think he was feeling the effects of PTSD, probably from season one when he was torturing that one...
The soldier. Yeah.
And then his daughter finds out. And maybe he doesn't have the PTSD because Ophelia's not there to judge him at the moment.
Mm. And they touched on judgment a lot in this episode as well.
Yes. Yeah, because he has forgiveness, like, a lot. But he doesn't want forgiveness from these random people. He wants it from Ophelia, and that's probably not a...
Sylvia B in the chat says, with PTSD, it is a struggle, but you do have moments of clarity. Sylvia, do you think that it's... Do you think that they're going to touch on it again? Because I feel like if they don't, it's a cop out. It's a cop out. Yeah. I mean, that was a huge part of Daniel's storyline, was that he was struggling with his past and the present, especially during this crazy apocalyptic time.
Right.
And for them to not address it, it would be a cop out. So let us know what you guys think. Moving on. So to the Gonzalez Dam. I was like, Gonzalez Dan, that's kind of a badass name. I like that name. We find out what's going on with this Dante character, who we are familiar with from the last episode. Yeah. He's apparently...
Dante the asshole.
The asshole. The president asshole.
president.
Maybe like our current president.
I don't speak Spanish. You
clearly. but yeah, so this President Dante guy is distributing water. And Daniel seems to have a problem with it, but he's still getting his bearings because he's with this woman named Lola, who gets him a janitorial job, and that's how he gets his way in. Because if they find out that he was either snuck in, they'll kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But then they really can't tell them the truth that he was in this drain pipe because they'll kill him.
Mm-hmm. Either way, Daniel was going to die, and the three people who helped him get in were going to die.
What was your first impression of Lola, though?
She was such a little sweetheart.
That was your impression of her?
Right? Lola's like the lady who saved him, right?
The lady who saves him, but...
Isn't she also the one that cuts his leg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not, like, sweet little, like... For me, that was, like, Lola's badass. Not only was she badass in that moment, but when she's, like, convincing the head of security guy...
You can be a sweetheart and be badass.
I don't think she's a sweetheart at all. She was, holding a grudge against Daniel. We'll talk about that later. But when the head of security guy comes up to her and asks about Daniel, she's like, why don't you worry about head of security and I'll worry about water? You do your job, I'll do my job. I thought she was a badass. I was like, I'm all for her.
Okay, she's a sweetheart in that she is trying to save other people and, like, not have this whole weird, like, water distribution thing.
Right.
Like, she is a sleeper cell agent and she's amazing, but she has to be a sweetheart to do that.
Okay. I got you. I liked where they were going with this whole conflict with, you know, like you said, sleeper agents going against Dante, but they're working against him while in the dam. I thought they were going to expand more on that.
I honestly thought that was going to play out for a little while longer, not just a single episode, because it's something that happens.
Yeah.
It's kind of like undermining authority. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to see that a little bit more. But this is Fear the Walking Dead, so we need to get back to the infected. And there wasn't a whole lot of infected in this area. It was pretty secure.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
So, we gotta get back.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. But, so, we finally see this Dante and Daniel kind of meeting, I guess it was a meeting. And we learn a little bit more about Daniel's backstory, which was that he was part of the El Salvadoran Civil War. He was an officer. Just a little backstory about that guy, just if anybody wants to know. This is just how badass Daniel actually is. Mm-hmm. So he's in this Civil War, this El Salvadorian Civil War, which went from 1980 to 1992, is 12-year war. And it was the military-led government versus a five left-wing guerrilla groups known as the Farabundo Marti National Liberation Front, the FMLN for short. I know, it was very, I was like, FMLN, fuck my life now. for short, and they were opposing the military government. And almost 70,000 to 80,000 people died. But what the government would do is what they would kill non-combatant civilians through torture, mutilation. And this is just a little backstory on, like...
History lesson.
History lesson. But just, like,
on
seeing
Fear the Walking Dead.
How badass, like, Daniel really is.
I mean, but we knew that from season one and the beginning of season two.
Yeah, but I just wanted to put into context for, like, the viewers who don't know what this Civil War was all about. Like, they mutilated and tortured people. So, like, the fact that they almost killed Daniel off, I think that's why people were so upset, because he's such a strong character. And he's literally lived through this 12-year Civil War just to be killed in a fire. Like, that's, I think,
that
why we were so
that
upset.
That he started.
Yeah, that he started. Well, he doesn't know there.
You know, whatever.
So, Daniel wants a Jeep from Dante. Did we think that Dante was going to be so lenient or...
Listen, Dante is a bad guy. He's a bad guy. And he knows that Daniel has this history. I mean, he's known. Like, to the fact where he says his name and the guy says Salazar, like, I think it was General or again, whatever it was, Salazar. Like, he has a reputation, so much so that this guy knows who he is and is like, I could use you.
Yeah.
So he's a lot like Strand in a way, where he's like, you are, like, it is worth it to keep you around and to keep you on my side.
I'm sorry, are you comparing Dante to Strand?
Sort of.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're both the sleazy, like, I'm going to lie to get what I want.
Yeah, but I don't think Strand has killed people.
Well, no. But I'm just saying that that's the same, like, charlatan.
Okay.
Life, like, you know, charisma. They're
doing
using
whatever
their charisma
you need to
get
do
what they need. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And they know how to use people to get where they want to be.
Okay.
That's more of the point.
Well, that's exactly what Dante does, because he can... convinces Daniel to stay at the dam to look for a person who's been stealing water.
Right. But he knows who's been stealing water.
Right. That, and then I was like, but I didn't really correlate, and I don't know if anybody in the chat or anybody watching our show right now correlated the fact that it was the Ephraim who was actually stealing the water, and that's who Dante was actually after. Because I didn't.
Oh, I didn't really get that. Well, I did. I think they were looking for the person inside
who was stealing.
So
yes.
It was really Lola that they were looking for. So I didn't get that right away.
Okay.
To be honest. But I did as soon as it you know, came around to the, like, I lost my train of thought.
That's okay, because Daniel goes with the machine gun guys in the truck.
Yes.
And they go back to this town that was in the beginning of the episode, and Daniel gives up Ephraim, fifth Beetle guy. I feel like I just have to keep saying fifth Beetle guy. Jesus. two Jesus. Do we think, just so that he can, what he says is so that he can protect Lola and the rest of the people who were essentially stealing water from the dam, did you think that Daniel was right in doing that?
What would you do?
What I had thought was going to happen was that when they were walking toward the dam, walking toward the fountain, I thought that Daniel was going to, like, create a distraction or yell or something to turn them around for, like, 5 minutes or so in order for the water to shut off.
Well, we don't know how long the water ran for.
That's
right. He was able to fill up, like, quite a few things, like, bottles, so we don't know how long it ran for. Don't disagree with what he did. I almost feel like he should have utilized the boombox speaker thing, but, you know, not ratted out a guy, been like, hey, I just saw a guy run that way, or whatever. Like, the fact that he actually turned him over is kind of really hard. That being said, Well, I know if we want to, I don't want to jump to the torture scene yet.
Yeah, no. So, okay. So right after that, after Daniel gives up this guy, Efrain, we pick up right where the last episode left off, which was Strand coming into the dam and Daniel sees him. And it is just, it just, the writers just wanted to show that Daniel was only worried about Ophelia throughout this entire thing. Going to the dam was his only mission. Getting out of the fire, his only mission was finding Ophelia. Right. Going to the dam to get the Jeep, his only mission was finding Ophelia.
But he abandons it. He could have gotten a Jeep.
Do you remember, like, well, he made a deal with this Dante guy who was clearly dangerous. Sure. Like, wouldn't you make a deal with him too? Just for a little while?
Maybe. I don't. I mean, it's hard to say.
See, but that's another reason why I thought they were going to have this conflict last a little longer. Because when they were shaking hands and he's like, I give you my word, it was like this very ominous. And I keep using this ominous word because like, okay, we obviously don't trust you.
Nope.
I thought we were going to be able to trust you for a couple of episodes. You know what I mean?
I didn't think that was going to happen very long at all, especially when Strand jumps back in. Then I was like, oh yeah, this is over. But also I feel like there was a lot of time sort of jumps in this episode, like to the point where, I remember what I was going to say. I didn't realize that Lola was already working and like releasing the water when they find Daniel.
Yes.
I thought she'd gotten that job like after they'd saved him and he went off with Jesus.
So
and
did I.
Did some stuff.
But that wasn't the case.
Right.
Got it.
Sorry. That's what I was going to say.
Yes.
I got lost on time.
So Strand and Daniel have this conversation. He's obviously asking about Ophelia and he doesn't believe Strand. Mm-hmm. Can you blame him?
No, because Strand was lying.
But he wasn't.
He was. Ophelia was not back at the hotel.
They were when they had left.
When he left? No.
When they left. No. Strand wasn't. Yes.
Strand. So Strand was. He told the truth up to a point.
Right.
But he also knew that he couldn't tell Daniel. Oh no! Ophelia went off on her own. Just disappeared one day, and we let her go. We didn't look for her.
But did we think it was smart for him to say she's in a hotel in Rizzarito, a day from here? Like, do we? Like, he was giving up all this information. Daniel could have easily been like, okay, thanks, bye. Instead of maybe Strand playing a little bit smarter.
And I feel like Daniel would have believed him better if he had actually played it a lot smarter.
Right. And Sylvia
B. Strand.
Right. And Sylvia B. in the chat says Strand is a seducer.
He is a seducer.
It was just a little lackluster for me that it was out of character for Strand to give up all of his, or look like he's giving up all of his cards and not seducing this moment.
To a degree. I think that he was in a point of desperation.
Okay.
It was getting down to the point where he knew he wasn't going to be able to seduce his way out of this cell. Mm. Even with Daniel. He knows where he stands with Daniel. So I think Strand was trying to play it the best way he thought possible to get Daniel, to get him out. Especially because Daniel doesn't like him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really like Daniel. So he had to do something that might help him.
And you touched up on this while we were watching the episode, this whole Strand, like this Strand versus Daniel conflict. And it goes obviously back to the boat when, you know, it's just this alpha male versus alpha male, kind of like they both want to be in charge, but obviously one person has to be in charge. And Daniel had to be more of in like a submissive role while he was on Daniel's boat. I mean, while he was on Strand's boat. Do we think that he's like, I don't know, holding more of a grudge than he needs to against Strand? Because if you think about it, Strand has done everything that he needed to do to survive.
Yeah.
This is even before the apocalypse. He was doing what he needed to do to survive in his mind.
Right.
And Daniel was a soldier and a torturer in the Civil War in El Salvador.
Yeah.
So you'd think that he'd understand where Strand is coming from, but it doesn't look like that's the case.
No, he's holding a grudge, and I don't think that's fair. I think it's really funny because I think they're both trying to be alpha males, and yet they both are very, very much followers in a lot of ways. They will go off and they'll do their own things, but at the same time, they follow, you know.
But Strand didn't follow Madison.
No.
When she left the hotel.
He didn't. That's why I'm saying he wants to be. But he clearly can't take care of himself. So, like,
I don't know. That's true. I do want to touch up on that because when we first meet Strand, he is in this, like, prison cell in season one, and Nick literally has to help him get out.
Yeah.
And now in this season,
Like, we all think he's a smooth talker, but he's only a smooth talker when he has backup.
And to a certain point.
Yeah.
Like, his talk only gets him so far.
Right.
Which I find really interesting.
Yeah, hashtag where's Ophelia? Girl, I feel... no, sorry, boy, I feel you.
Yeah, Simon, we genuinely do want to know where Ophelia is, because I think that
it's Ophelia... Fourth episode.
Fourth episode. And even according to the preview, Ophelia's not in the preview either, so I'm kind of curious to see when they're going to introduce her. And this is coming from a person who didn't like Ophelia. Mm-hmm. I didn't like her until she went off on her own and like grew a set of her on herself to be like, you know what? I'm going to go and do what I need to do by myself. Did you like Ophelia when... And I just want to talk about this really quick, because when she finally does come up on screen, mm-hmm. or when she makes an appearance in the episode...
we'll know where we stand.
Yes. Did you like Ophelia?
I did and I didn't. I have, with most of these characters, I have love and hate relationships with the exception of very few of them. Like, Alicia's my girl. Yeah. There's like a few times where I'm like, you're being a dumbass. But otherwise, I'm like, I love you. but as for Ophelia... I liked her at the very, very beginning.
Okay.
In season one.
See, I didn't.
And then, she was like seducing the guard. Like, she was working her, like, she was.
In season one, I just thought she was too needy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair, I guess. But I liked her then. And then, till the end when she was being all whiny that her dad was a torturer. Because I'm like, he's trying to save your life, dude. Come on. Like, so, I don't know. I go back and forth. I absolutely love her right now because, yeah, she did go all badass and, like, go off on her own. And, yeah, she got cool.
There are a lot she of... She got cool. There are a lot of theories out there that Ophelia is being held captive by Jeremiah, who is at Brokejaw mm-hmm. Ranch.
And or with the other group that they're...
That shot down the helicopter.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I just really want to know what's going on.
I really want to know, too. And I'm wondering when it's going to come to a head. Well, I guess we'll talk about that in predictions.
Yes.
Because we still have predictions to do. I do want to go back to the episode. I just wanted to veer off really quick because we needed to establish where we stand on Ophelia, since she hasn't made an appearance yet, mm-hmm. you guys.
What about you guys? Where do you stand with Ophelia?
Yeah, let us know where you stand on with Ophelia.
Well, one, and I love Mercedes Mason, so I want her to come back.
Okay, fair. Okay. Anyway. Let's go to Daniel being like torturing this water thief, Efrain.
Yeah.
And you had touched up on it earlier in our episode mm-hmm. when you said that it brought you back to the first season where he had tortured that soldier, and mm-hmm. Ophelia had this huge, like, I don't want you to do this. Mm-hmm. But Madison was the one that was like, get any kind of information that you can out of him. Do we think that...
I love Madison.
What did you think of that whole situation? Of Daniel having to torture this guy that literally saved his life, but now has to kill him in order to protect everybody else.
Karma's a bitch.
Like, for who, though?
For him.
For Daniel or for the Efrain?
For Daniel. He did bad karma by saying, like, oh, I'm going to report this, like, say, oh, here's your water thief, and now you're the one that has to torture him.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to take a hit to your soul.
Do we think that Dante kind of had a... Maybe thought that Daniel had anything to do with this whole water scandal thing, and that's why he made him do it? Or did you think that he wanted Daniel to prove his worth, and that's why he made him torture?
I think that second one, because if he had an inkling that Daniel was a part of the water stealing, he probably would have
just
had
killed
more...
him.
No, probably would have had more guards up there on the...
That's
he only
true.
Had...
That's true,
one,
you're
two,
right.
Three, like four... There's four bad guys in total, I think.
Yes.
Right? Or did he kill three?
Three. He tripped one, shot one, and then Dante.
Yeah,
okay. So there's three.
So I think if he had had any inkling, because he knows how dangerous Daniel is, he would have had more security up there.
Yeah.
And that would have been a giveaway anyway. But yeah, that's my thoughts.
Okay. Because I thought that whole, like, just him having to torture somebody. And then another thing that I noticed was Lola was in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why is she in the room right now? She's just the water person. She's just dealing with the water. Why is she in the room watching these guys torture this guy?
Well, because she is in charge of the water. So technically she's the one who's being stolen from, sort of. Like, it's her department that's getting stolen
from. I still don't think that
from.
She should have. Yeah, but this is a security issue. She had nothing to do with security. Do you know what I mean? And she said in the beginning of the episode, like, mm-hmm. the head of security deals with security. She deals with the water. I don't think this guy had anything to do with
it. I think they probably were like, this overlaps over the two. But I also knew that she was going to crack before the...
Did you
before,
really? Yeah. Because that was going to be my next question.
Oh, yeah. No, I knew.
Okay.
I think I even said it, but we listened with headphones on. Oh. And you didn't hear me say it, but I was like, oh, she's going to crack way before he does.
I didn't think that she was going to crack. I was actually really surprised that she cracked.
Part of why she's a sweetheart.
Okay, fine. Touche, Natalie. Touche. She got me,
well
guys. She
played.
Did. She is a sweetheart, but she's also a badass. Because,
yes. Oh, yeah. She definitely
is. Because who else would sacrifice themselves... Because somebody that you... And I'm guessing that they were lovers.
I think so. They had some sort of history, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Was being tortured right in front of you. And this is why I was like, why would she stay in the room? That was my initial question. It didn't occur to me that she would crack.
Oh, yeah.
Because literally, like, you know that you're going to die. And because yeah. Obviously we didn't obviously know what was going to happen. And let's just talk about that really quick. So she gives herself up. She gives Efrain up. Essentially
well,
all of the
Efrain
group.
Was already given up.
Right. So they're on this, the dam thing where mm-hmm. we first meet Dante in last episode with Strand, and he's like just chucking people over the edge.
Yeah.
And they're all lined up. Did we think that Daniel was going to turn against Dante right then?
I had a little bit of both. I was very up in the air about what was going to happen.
Okay.
In my mind, I was thinking, oh my God, if Strand dies, I'm going to be so mad. I was like, I'm going to be so mad if Dominic Cole is not on the show anymore. So in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, I was waiting for Daniel to not save him.
Yeah.
But I also was like, I had the majority of me was like, no, he's gonna do something. I don't know what it is, but he's gonna do something. Come on, do something. It was willing the character to do what I wanted him
right.
to do.
See, I, in that moment, because he throws, like, obviously the first person goes over, mm-hmm. and then he's standing there with Lola, and I was like, he's either gonna do what he has to do mm-hmm. and, like, kick in that soldier instinct and just throw her over,
mm-hmm.
or he's gonna kick in the soldier instinct but go in a different direction and
right.
save
Fight.
Everybody. I honestly was I was 75% go him the like he I thought he was gonna throw over because I was like there's because like I said in the beginning I thought they were gonna extend this Dante thing a little
right.
longer, and in that moment I was like, well, if they do so happen to get away, you mm-hmm. have to shoot Dante. There's no getting out of that. There's no
oh, yeah,
like
no.
having it like putting him in prison. There's no reason to do that.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I thought that he was gonna have to throw Lola over. And then
but I mean, then he was gonna have to throw Lola and Efrain and Strand.
No, but then I thought that, you know, Dante was gonna be like, okay, we'll give these guys another shot or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't see that. No.
See, I don't know how I didn't
so
know how far
this
was gonna go, but I didn't think that the Dante thing was gonna end so abruptly.
Yeah, yep. I didn't think it was gonna end so abruptly. I kinda thought Daniel might try and talk it out
okay.
first, I guess.
Yeah.
But he was waiting up to that last minute. To do it, and
yeah.
so then I was like, yeah, nope, he's got to fight.
Did you think that Dante could have had the potential to be one of those, like, awesome badass characters? Because here's the thing, they established him with such,
what,
like
the mayor?
Or the governor from...
Or, yeah, sorry,
yeah,
the governor.
Yeah, just the because they established his, like, you know, he had back history with Strand.
Mm-hmm.
He knows Daniel, not knows him, but he knows of this civil war that Daniel had to go through. Like, they established this really strong backstory for this Dante character,
right.
and they killed him after two episodes.
Right.
And I don't know if that has, like, an inkling on what this season's going to look like, but did you think that he had the potential to be, like, a good bad guy.
No, because I thought he was too predictable. His actions to me were too predictable, with the exception that he didn't throw Strand over the edge right away.
Right.
That was the only thing I was like, well, that was kind of... I didn't see that coming, because I was like, in my mind, he was going to throw him over in that first meeting. Otherwise, I could pretty much predict what he was going to do. And predictable bad guys don't make good bad guys. It's why the Joker is so fun, is because
he's
unpredictable.
That's a good point.
It's why Harley Quinn is so good or fun, because she's unpredictable.
Yeah.
So those... Sorry, I went real nerdy.
No, no. I'm glad that you said that, because you're right. A good bad guy has to be unpredictable.
Which is why... wow, I can't think of his name right now. But from Brokejaw.
Jeremiah?
Jeremiah, yeah. That's why he's such a good... bad guy, because
I don't think he's a bad guy, though. I don't look at him like a bad guy.
We'll find out.
Okay,
I think we'll find out. I assume everybody's a bad guy until they prove me
just
wrong.
Like the alive and the dead thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think he'll make, or even his son, the
Jake.
Wow, I am not remembering names.
Jake or Toby?
Jake.
Toby. The good one.
Oh, no, the bad guy. Toby. The crazy one.
Yeah.
He's unpredictable, too.
Yes.
Like, whatever he's going to do is crazy, and that's what we can predict, but we also don't know what that crazy thing that he's going to do is.
Yes. Here's another thing that you touched up on that I want to touch up on now. Sure. Strand was up there again in line with everybody that was getting thrown over. Mm-hmm. But in the last episode, Dante gave him a pass and said, you know, you're going to work off the debt that you've collected.
We don't and that's why I see what happened.
Right. But then he's like up there with everybody else who's about to get thrown over. Like, what changed? Like, did Dante just change his mind and go, hey, you know what? You're going to, now we're going to kill you? Because why didn't he just throw him over in the beginning? Why wait?
It was just the writers needing another episode so I guess. That they could do it this way.
I think that was a little bit of a cop out. Like, why was Strand
up there?
They
needed to have the reveal of Daniel saving Strand.
Okay.
They needed to have, they couldn't have him up there seeing how this guy murders people, have him be murdered, and mm-hmm. then reveal Daniel, because there would be no point in revealing Daniel at that point.
Okay.
So they needed another way.
Yeah.
They needed
no,
another
I feel
day.
You. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. Let's go into predictions.
Sure.
Because I feel like we have
a
lot to say.
A little bit, but.
Yes. Predictions.
And now,
yeah.
Ooh. Yes, guys, that is our predictions ambiance. We've held out on predictions until about the fourth episode because we wanted to kind of, A, gain our footing in the Fear of the Walking Dead after show as hosts, mm-hmm. But we also wanted to kind of see where they were going to go with this season. So I'm going to shoot it over to Natalie. Natalie, what do you think is, what are some of your predictions? And this doesn't have to be about this episode, any of the episodes.
Right. Cool. I had so many and now I just can't think of any.
Okay, well,
I'll shoot one off.
The helicopter shooting people, mm-hmm. I think you touched up on it in this episode
we did,
too.
We talked about it a little
bit. I feel like they're holding Ophelia captive. And because Jeremiah's group is sending out Madison with this group, with Toby, to go after them.
I don't think she's captive, though.
Maybe captive. I just want to say, I don't.
If
maybe
Jeremiah
she's working,
isn't holding her captive, I think she's working with the other team.
Okay, either working with them or working with them just to survive, mm-hmm. Doing what she has to do like her father. But I feel like when Madison's group goes after with this helicopter shooting down group, that's when they're going to find Ophelia. That's one of my predictions.
Yeah, I hope so, I guess. Yeah. I agree with that. I think Nick and Alicia and the next ones are going to try and incorporate themselves much more in ways that are probably a little bit unpredictable. I think Alicia is going to maybe fall down a similar line of drinking all the time as her brother did.
Okay.
And I think he's going to have to maybe pull her out of it.
Okay.
Which I think would be kind of interesting. Who else is out there right now?
Well, I just want to shout out Simon's prediction. He said that Ophelia is the one that shot down the helicopter after escaping Brokejaw Farm. And if Madison finds out, she'll do something dark with Ophelia in order to get into the Otto's family's good graces. That's actually a really awesome prediction, Simon. I'm going to twist a little bit.
Sure.
I'm going to say that maybe Ophelia didn't. I'm going to say Ophelia was never at Brokejaw. I feel like she shot down the helicopter because she was asked to, maybe to prove her worth in the group that she's with. That's why she shot down the helicopter. I don't think she necessarily knew that helicopter was from Brokejaw. I don't necessarily think that. So just a little spin. That's
basically
a really great prediction.
Basically, we're pretty sure Ophelia is on the other team.
Yes, because clearly if she was like in a basement at Brokejaw, like they would have come out with that by now.
Right. But that place is a little culty and maybe she wasn't like falling in line or some shit.
Maybe. You never know. Yeah. Maybe Simon has a point. Maybe, you know, she escaped or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea. It's a good point. I think that Alicia and Jake, just to go on the love story kind of track.
Oh, yep.
I think Alicia and Jake are going to have a little bit of thing. But I think just piggybacking off of what you've been saying, that mm-hmm. Jake is like one of those like undercover bad guys, like undercover sociopaths, I think that she's going to get involved with him and then realize that he's not as good as he thinks he is.
Let's see. Girl does not have good luck with love.
She doesn't.
So
she really doesn't.
Assume that it'll be bad if that starts happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think I would like to know where Strand and... Do you think they're going to Strand and Daniel are going to stay at the dam and, like, take over there, or...
That's a good point.
Do you think they're going to go out, maybe in search for Ophelia, or... Oh, wait, we saw that in the commercial. Never mind. They definitely leave, but I want to know how they're going to leave it.
Well, A, they... Yes, they're going to leave. We saw that in the preview, but I don't think they're going to fully leave the dam, because A, it's a really great water source.
Right.
B, if anybody deserves to take over that place, it's Lola.
Right. Because I think she's going to take over.
Yeah, because we've established that she's badass. I hope they don't write off the whole dam, because I think that's a very good character relationship to have with Daniel and Lola. That may be a potential romantic thing as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like Strand had a good point, and they touched up on it last episode when he was trying to, you know, convince Dante, like, you're selling too close to your source. You have to sell it. You have to outsource it and protect your source. So I think there's going to be something along the lines of that. I don't think they're going to fully write off the dam.
Do we think they're going to be kicked out of the dam like they did out of the hotel?
No. Why would they be kicked out of the dam? Because they literally rescued the dam from this crazy president guy who was literally having this strong hold on the water.
Sure, but technically the group also rescued the hotel from the infected.
That, yes.
And they still got kicked out. So, like, I'm just assuming that they're going to get kicked out of every... They're like...
They're going to get kicked out of
everywhere. That friend that drinks way too much at the bars and gets kicked out. And you're like, again? Damn it.
I don't know. We'll see. I hope they don't get kicked out. I think this dam could be a very good set piece for the season. But like I said, based on their track record right now, they're not sticking to
things for very long. Do we think Strand and Daniel and Ophelia, do we think the original crew is going to get back together?
Yes, okay. I do. I really want to see Strand and Madison together again because I love their dynamic. I feel like they're best friends.
Yeah.
It's like a girl with her gay best friend. It's like they're both kick-ass characters and they need to come together again because they're just like...
Yeah.
And it just goes back to Madison's promise to Thomas. Like, she promised to look after Strand, but she also knows that she has to let him go and do what he wants to do, just like she did with her son Nick. Like, if she could do that with her own flesh and blood, she obviously did that with Strand.
Let's do... do you have any comments from last?
I do. I just want to shout out Charlou611, who was really happy to see Daniel back, like we all were. Charlou611, if you watch this episode, I really want to hear what you have to say about... you know, this episode, because we did get
it was all about Daniel.
Right. Duper Super 1938. I just want to clarify this because we did touch up on the whispers last episode.
Yeah, I read that.
Just a little correction.
Yeah.
The whispers can't talk to the dead. They actually cover themselves in walkers or infected skin and whisper to each other as they walk among them, which is still creepy.
It's worse than just blood.
I know. But it's interesting because I'm like, this is what Nick has been doing this entire time. So maybe they'll introduce that. There was a lot of comments in our last video, last week's episode, that people were like, I don't think they're gonna do that because the comics belong to The Walking Dead and not Fear the Walking Dead. But I'm like, but if this is what Nick has been doing, if this is what they've been touching on,
yeah, it's why wouldn't they go there?
Right. So would you be mad if they went there?
No, I guess I would want to know more about it.
No.
Like, how it works.
I mean, I'm curious. I mean, it makes me curious, but at the same time, I think it's a little far-fetched. Like I said last episode, I think it's a little weird.
But
it's a little weird.
Okay, fair.
I feel like they've used it so many times, especially in Fear the Walking Dead, where they cover themselves just to get through a horde of the infected.
I guess if they're going to use it, I would want to see the repercussions of it. Because it can't be good for you to be covering yourself in infected blood all the time. There has to be some sort of, like, sickness or something that comes from it.
Okay.
So if they're going to keep doing it, I want to see what...
An adverse effect.
Yes. Yeah. It can't, like, just... Something that... Because otherwise this world is really easy to live in, you guys.
Right. All you have to do is have a walker that you can just butcher up and then just cover yourself in its blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are my only shout-outs. And everybody in the chat today, Simon Cerna, Sylvia B. I forgot in the beginning, one game show... Untitled Game Show. Thank you, Untitled Game Show. And Drexel heard everybody in the chat. We love your comments, guys.
Yeah, we do.
We, you know, comment on the video throughout the week. We love shouting you guys out. We love interacting with you guys in the chat.
You help us out when we can't think of names.
Thank you, because we have a lot going on. We want to hear your predictions.
Yes.
Because we clearly have a lot of predictions.
Yeah, drop it down in the comments so that we can, the comment section, so we can talk about it.
Yeah,
next
and
week.
We're only going to get into more predictions from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like you said, when the group all comes together, stuff is going to hit the fan, you guys. So,
it's going to be a party.
I'm really excited.
It's going to be good.
Natalie, let them know where they can find you.
You can find me at, at Natalie Dyer, N-A-T-A-L-E-E-D-Y-E-R, on all social media platforms. You can also find me on the Dark Matter after show. I don't know why I looked at you. At 4 on Sundays.
And guys, once again, I am Timothy Michael. You can find me on all social media platforms. I am at I am Timothy Mike. And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.